Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are pretty much wide open right now. You know, the Word of God does indeed reveal true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. We invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I think all of us have this need to belong. We want to feel like we belong to something. That's why we join clubs. That's why we join, you know, organizations. I was a member of a fraternity in college, and I certainly felt like I belonged to a group of people, and that meant a need in my life. But then college ended and we all dispersed, and now I needed to find something else to belong to. Well, in this new covenant, we have a promise that guarantees eternal belonging. We're going to belong to the people of God. And here's what this promise is. This is promise number two of the new covenant. I will be their God and they will be my people. If you're a believer in Christ, you're one of the many who God looks at as his people, and you can claim him as your God. That's just the way this promise is. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's awful to feel like you're excluded,
yeah,
like you're on the outside looking in. You know, we have these groups and cliques and stuff in schools, and all the folks that are outside of those cliques are looking in saying, boy, I wish I belonged.
And churches as well.
That's exactly right. But here in this new covenant, through faith in Jesus, we all belong. And this is an unconditional blessing, isn't it, Richard? There's
yes.
No conditions tied to this.
No, because God didn't make this covenant with you and me. He made it with himself, with Jesus. And so everything he says here is a statement of fact, not a statement of what if.
Yeah, it's a declaration.
Yeah.
And that what if was in the old covenant. Mm-hmm. So there were strings attached there. It was put to them in an if-then proposition. If you obey, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Well, they didn't obey. So that second part of the promise was always in question in their minds. They knew they were guilty. They knew they were not faithful. They knew they did not live up to their end of the bargain. And so the promise was always out there somewhere, but not in this new covenant. No strings attached. It is unconditional. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you belong. And God put his spirit in your heart. We talked about that yesterday, the fact that God writes his laws on our hearts and puts them in our minds. That's done by the Spirit of God. And one of the things the Spirit of God places on the inside of us is this testimony that we truly belong to God. By his Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. That's good news.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants us to know more than anything else. He builds underneath us a solid platform of assurance in this second promise in the new covenant.
Well, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to join this particular part of the conversation, we'd love for you to do that. If you have a Bible question or some other issue you're facing, we want to hear from you today. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open right now. We await your calls. Again, 800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Don in Yonkers, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Don.
Hi, Bob, and hi, Richard. I want to thank you for drawing the hard line that you draw. Either you're a child of the light, or you're a child of darkness. Because you draw this hard line and you stand on it, your ministry is going to be extremely successful, probably more successful. I wouldn't say indeed more successful than most of the others that do not draw that hard line. A caller called in about marriage and being unequally yoked. I can tell you through experience, almost 20 years now in marriage, being unequally yoked is you'll have a fight in your family. Your children will be confused. I'm married to a woman who thinks that she is Christian, but is operating not like a Christian. She's lukewarm. And if you're lukewarm, Revelation 3 says you are a darksider, and Jesus himself will vomit you out of his mouth. This is a problem. Listeners, all over who are ever listening to this broadcast, do not marry someone who is not grounded in the faith of the truth. You will have extreme troubles. You will win because it will help you to stay steadfast in your belief, but you will have a fight in your hands under the roof of your home.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing. And Don, I sure appreciate you bringing that up, kind of a personal testimony from your own life. Faith in Jesus Christ. We trust him because we know that he loves us. That's what engenders this response of faith in Jesus, is the fact that he's poured out his love on us. And so everything that he tells us to do, as far as believers are concerned, is for our benefit. And so one of the things that he says is, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. That's not only in marriage, but that's in partnerships in general. I mean, it has a broader scope than just marriage. But oftentimes we look at that and say, you know, God, I know better than you. I know what's going to make me happy. I know. And here's this person, and she's just the one for me, or he's just the one for me. And we disregard what God has told us, what he has clearly said to us, because we think we know best. And so we move on. I remember telling somebody, I just looked right at them and said, you two should not get married. You are not equally yoked. It should not happen. And they went ahead and did it. 6 months later, they had all kinds of problems and just said, it's time to quit. And they did. They divorced. And it was a very difficult thing for both of them. I think this is important to one.
Very, extremely.
Don, this is why we continue to harp on the love of Jesus Christ, to lay the love of Christ out there for people to hear. Because if you know God loves you, your heart is going to be softened, and you're going to come to that point where you want to actually trust him. And trusting him is going to spell out a lifestyle that's different than not trusting him. And trusting him, you're going to say, well, Lord, if you say that I shouldn't be yoked together with an unbeliever, you're saying that for my benefit. It's not to rob me of some joy. It's not to make me miserable. It's for my good, for my benefit. So thank you for thinking about me. I'm going to trust you. And that's how we live. So we have to know that God loves us. And God has sent his Spirit inside of us to teach us about that love. I love the prayer in Ephesians 3:16-19. Ephesians 3:16-19. Mark that in your Bible. If you have a pencil, write that passage down and go and look it up and then adopt it as a personal prayer. Paul prays that we would be strengthened in our inner man by the Spirit of God so that Christ could be at home in our hearts, and so that by his Spirit we could know and experience the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, which passes all understanding, and in so doing be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. God sent his Spirit to live inside of us so that we could grasp in our minds and experience in our hearts the love of God. And as we know the love of God, we're going to see a response of faith back to him and a willingness to carry out what he tells us to do, because we know it's for his benefit. That's why understanding the love of God is of supreme importance. It is the most important thing. Well, Don, we sure appreciate your call.
Thank you, Rich, for ministering to me and your audience. God bless you.
You're welcome, Don. Thanks for your call.
And plenty of open lines right now. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, give us a call, 800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to William in Livermore, California. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob.
Nice to hear from you.
Nice to speak to you. My question is, I've asked this before, are we able to judge somebody else's salvation?
Well, William, we don't ever know for sure. That's really between that person and God. We might see signs of life there, and when we see signs of life, I think we roll with that. If somebody tells us that they're saved, I think we roll with that. We don't necessarily, assume anything. I don't think we can see in a person's heart. That's God's judgment, not ours.
Well, then how are we to avoid being yoked with an unbeliever if we're not able to determine who an unbeliever is?
Well, William, if somebody says they're not a believer, I mean, that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign, but I've seen that somewhere around 90% of Americans claim to be Christians, but I'm sure you'd agree that nowhere near 90% of Americans are born again.
Well, that's right. That's exactly
right. There
are many
people who, in the name of Christ Jesus, who are not saved. So just because somebody says that they are saved doesn't necessarily mean that they are.
Well, if you're getting involved in a relationship with a person, right, and you're attracted to this person, you like them, they seem to like you, you go out, you start to talk, have conversations about various things, eventually it's going to lead to a conversation about Jesus. And in that conversation about Jesus, you're going to hear what somebody believes about Jesus, and they're going to hear what you believe about Jesus. And in that, I think you can make some determinations. You kind of get a sense that, wait a minute, we're not on the same page. I think the Spirit of God can reveal that, can raise some warning flags for you, or he can give you a green light.
I absolutely agree with that, and that gets back to my question, can we know if somebody's saved? My understanding of salvation is that God has sent his Spirit to live in us, and that he reveals to us truth. And I agree, only God can judge somebody's heart. But if God, judging somebody's heart, reveals to us that person is not saved, do not be yoked with them, I think we should listen.
I agree. I agree, William.
And I don't think that he doesn't just leave us to discern on our own. I think there's plenty of scriptures that describe the characteristics of unbelievers that we can use that as determination to help us understand whether this is from God or if it's just our own thoughts.
You're right, and I think we know, intuitively we know it.
Right.
People come in for counseling and they want help on problems, and if they're believers, they really already know what they need to do. The struggle is that they don't want to, and a lot of times it gets down to this relationship issue. I know I shouldn't be involved with this person. I know I shouldn't. I've already given in and done things I know I shouldn't have done, and I know I've brought hurt and pain in this person's life because I've given in to temptation. But I know I should just walk away, but I don't want to. My flesh doesn't want to, so I keep I keep hanging in there. So a lot of times we already know what we do. It's just coming to that point of saying, pulling the trigger and actually doing it. And I think this is one of those areas.
Okay, so bottom line is, it's possible to determine if somebody else is saved.
Well, William, it's kind of a trick question. I think you can see fruit and you can trust God's Spirit, and just trust God's Spirit in that, and let him make those judgments.
Right, but my concern is this: I know that there are people who name the name of Christ who are not saved. It's like the old deal Bob George used to speak about the guy listening to music and reading the book, and the other guy comes along and he's deaf. He doesn't hear the music. He's just copying the other guy. There's plenty of people who do that.
Sure.
But the problem is with this doctrine that we cannot judge somebody else's salvation, that if somebody says, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, well, then we don't pursue revealing truth to them through the Word of God because they've already claimed that they're saved, so there's no reason to do that. And if they believe they're saved, they don't seek salvation because they believe that they've already attained it.
Well, William, I'll just say this. You know, our approach is we assume nothing. You know, somebody
right.
calls, for example, and they say, you know, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've gone to church all my life. Well, that means, well, let's go back to square one and let's just lay out the gospel message and let's see if we're both on that same page. What do you believe the gospel is? Here's what I think the scripture says. What about you? And so we come, and I do think, you know, we have fellowship in Christ. I think we can experience that with other believers in Christ. We know it. But I don't think there's a doctrine that says we can't judge.
Okay.
I don't see that in the Bible. I'm just saying that I can't see clearly in a person's heart to know. I can see some fruit and I can make some judgments based on that, but I can't see into the depths of their hearts. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well,
hey,
thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good discussion. Let's go to Loretta in Grand Rapids. Hi, Loretta.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you Wonderful. Doing today?
Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you for asking.
Well, you are welcome.
I want to comment on one, the man that said about unequally yoked. Well, the thing is the Bible. I don't know what you're saying. I know a lot about the Bible and what it say, but I don't know where you find it. I just have a limited education. But anyway, I won't talk about that. The thing is the Bible say if the man was saved, he said, let the sanctified man get the sanctified wife saved, and the sanctified wife get the sanctified man saved in so much, it says that. And how you can find out a person being saved, you watch how they react. If they're doing more for God than they're doing for themselves, they are saved. That's how you know that in a way. So God is a wonderful God, and he wants everybody to be saved. But if we don't know how to help ourselves to help somebody else, well, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so God is moving in a mighty big way, and he wants us to move with him.
You're right. I like the way you said that, Loretta. God's moving in a mighty way, and he wants us to move with him. I think that's a great statement.
He wants us not to be a hearer only, but a doer also.
Yeah.
And so
well, it's interesting in this passage on marriage, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There's this thought, you know, if you're married to an unbeliever and it's tough, there's friction, there's all kinds of problems, there's arguing and that sort of thing. You get to a point and you want to throw up your hands and walk away. You want to end it. You want to divorce that person and walk away. And the encouragement there is this, that there's a bigger issue at stake than just your marriage. Here's a person who is lost, who says they are lost. And you being in that relationship have an opportunity to present the truth of the gospel, not only in the spoken word, but in a living testimony. And so if you can stay in there, if your unbelieving spouse is willing to live with you, hang in there because
yes.
God's at work. And that's exactly what you're saying. Well, thanks for your call so much.
Okay, I would just like to say if both of them is not saved, then that's a different problem. But if one saved and go out of the will of the Lord and marry an unequally yoked person, he's supposed to stand there and help try to get the other spouse saved.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's how we come together on one accord.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Okay, Loretta.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your call. So nice to hear from you.
Yeah. We had a question from Lucy, a good friend Lucy in San Diego, and this is one I don't think we have covered before, probably. It's from Galatians 6:2. It tells us to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How do we do that, she wants to know. I know that we're to be patient and bear people's mannerisms and idiosyncrasies, but what else is there to bear?
Well, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's just talking about body life there, how we relate one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll have burdens, family burdens, financial burdens, all kinds of things that weigh heavy on me. And when a brother or sister in Christ comes along and says, hey, I'll walk with you, it lessens the load. It's an encouragement, and I think that's all this is talking about. Do you have anything to add to that?
Paul makes an interesting mirror image statement. In verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens, and in verse 5, he says, for each will have to bear his own load. So it's not that we become, the caretakers of someone. And we're sharing. It's in fellowship. We're encouraging each other, because there are things each of us gets to carry on our own. It's our unique issue between us and God. And he's just talking about fellowship here and how we bear each other up and encourage each other in the Lord. And, every once in a while, one or more of us just fails miserably.
Yeah.
And it's our privilege to come along and help that person back.
And I think we see that specifically lived out in the loss of a loved one. So say, your husband dies. Well, that's a hurtful loss. No one can step in his shoes and fill that. But the body of Christ comes around and helps bear that burden. We mourn with that particular person. It also says rejoice with others as well. So we have that opportunity to participate via fellowship, the fellowship of believers in both the wonderful things and the tough things that people go through. And I think that's all this passage is talking about.
Well, Lucy, hope that answers your question. And for all of our listeners who can't get to the phone at the time that we're actually on the air, we encourage you to drop us an email. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of this broadcast. A reminder as we close, friends, that supporting Basic Gospel is a lot more than just supporting a radio program. It's supporting the spread of the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, of course, is what you have a part in when you give your gifts through Basic Gospel. In February, we're offering a new and exciting resource, our latest Bible study series called The New Covenant Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. The New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Also, be sure to check the website for information about our upcoming Bible conference. That's going to be a wonderful thing. I'm just excited about it, and we've put a lot of planning in the last few months into this particular conference. I think it's going to be a dandy. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World, coming up June 19th through the 21st, and you'll get all the information when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. A reminder also that the resources that we mention on the broadcast are available to aid your understanding of the Christian life, and you can find them also when you visit store.basicgospel.net. If you would like to get a review of each day's broadcast or a particular call that you hear on the broadcast, well, join our email list. Simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net to receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear on this broadcast each day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.